Dan Lieutenant Arnau, over to Nexa.
Good morning to all members of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks, Chairman, for affording us the opportunity to present. I don't know whether everybody remembers me. My name is Mutshwela Seko. I have with me a delegation composed of the CEO of Nexa, Mr. Phuzile Tlhane. I also have Mr. Dan Moagi, HR. Ms. Mbalimfuka, acting CFO of Nexa, and Ms. Chantel Zeneca, Communications. Mr. Tlhane, please, if you can help us.
Thank you, Chairman. Chair, and the honorable members, I greet you this morning. We'll be sharing with you the corporate plan for Nexa into the new financial year. We'll be touching on to some performance issues, but of course, this is not a performance meeting. We'll be looking at our mandate, which you know very well, and for the first time, we'll be showing you how we align to the government plans, and then we'll go into our key objectives, key risks, critical success factors, and some budgeting information. The next
I think in terms of the legislative and policy mandate, if this honourable members are used to it, in terms of time, just saying, let's jump that, and also in terms of key objectives, if you could be one, so that you give space to the other areas.
Okay, thank you. You know, legislative mandate, let's move. Let's dwell a little bit on the alignment to government policy. Here we first look at alignment to the National Development Plan. It speaks to several key priority areas. Providing quality health care is one. And in meeting this objective, as well as the next one, an economy that will create more jobs and improve quality of education, training, and innovation, our NTP radioisotopes, a subsidiary of Nexa, plays in this area quite significantly. We provide radioisotopes for medical applications. I'll show you some examples going forward. And Pelchem provides some chemicals for industrial work in various key areas. We train apprentices. We've trained during the period ending 31st March 442 people in our skills development center, in our decentralized trade test center. We've put some people through a pre-test, about 33 people, and 246 people were given trade test preparation, and 232 artisan state training. And of course, learnerships were provided. And there's a budget scheme which is training a whole lot of people. Graduate in training, 11 students and graduates, 15, and 5 postgraduates. Internships, about 36 students, and postgraduates and postdoctoral fellows were also put through the program. In terms of expanding infrastructure, Nexa has embarked on several key projects for the manufacturing of fuel for Safari, LU fuel and target plates. The Safari 2 project is slowed down a little bit, but will be picking up pace towards the end of this calendar year to ensure that we build the skills capacity. The slowing down is essentially for optimizing the program to be a test bench, actually a testing area for other projects that will be coming into the future. In terms of transitioning to a low carbon economy, from where we are playing in nuclear, we are assisting South Africa to prepare itself for a carbon constrained future. South Africa in the region of the world, here we produce work that is of a global nature in our sterile insect technique, in terms of our sealed high activity radioactive sources shards, and of course we are exporting this into Africa, into South America, and elsewhere in the world to ensure that we contribute not just to our country but to other countries. In terms of the government's program of action, I'll take you through some outcomes that we contribute to. Outcome 2, which relates to health, and outcome 1, that relates to improved life expectancy. In terms of our technology in the medical area, in the therapy and diagnosis of cancer and TB that are associated with sometimes HIV/AIDS, NTP radioisotopes is performing there. In terms of outcome 4, in terms of decent employment through inclusive economic growth and up, and of course the increased competitiveness to raise net exports, NTP and Pelcom in the activities are contributing there. Even NEXA Corporate in terms of the manufacturing, nuclear manufacturing center contributes in this area as well. In terms of outcome 6, the type of skills that we deploy in doing our work and the training that we provide contributes very clearly in that area. In terms of outcome 6, an efficient and competitive responsive infrastructure network, NEXA is embarked on these projects that I've mentioned earlier on, and you could see that we contribute there in our preparations for pressurized water reactor fuel. We're cooperating with several countries, Russia, France, and South Korea in terms of our preparatory work there, and we will contribute in a focused manner as soon as our mandate is given to us. In terms of outcome 10, environmental assets and natural resource protection, here we you have to recognize that we are playing in the field of raw material beneficiation as we utilize uranium better and better within EXA. And outcome 11, create a better South Africa and contributing to a better, safer Africa in the world. Our focus in terms of participation and collaboration with the Atomic Energy International Atomic Energy Agency and government assists us to do this. Okay, alignments to the action plan. In the pharmaceutical area, we're very proud to tell the committee chair and members that we have this project called Kitapela, which relates to the manufacture of the active ingredient for ARVs, antiretroviral treatment, and for AIDS and HIV infected persons, and this could lower the cost of producing these pharmaceutical products for our community, and we hope to contribute to the community of the world as well. In terms of nuclear energy, we participate in the National Nuclear Executive Coordinating Committee, sub-working groups and working groups to ensure that we contribute to the skills localization and industrialization program. In terms of alignment to the SIPs, I will take SIP 4. SIP 4 deals with the economic opportunity where we operate. We operate in the northwest province of South Africa, and NEXA is the second largest employer of high-level skills in that area. And in terms of higher education infrastructure, SIP 4, NEXA provides research platform for scientists, engineers, and a cross-section of sectors because we work with several CITES, and Nexus sustains nuclear skills capability for South Africa. We are ensuring through participation in this area that Nexus is the center of nuclear technology in South Africa. In terms of electricity expansion, our Safari 2 program is being optimized to ensure that we can support whatever plans the government has in respect of infrastructure development. Nexus achievements. Here, you are not going to obtain chairperson and honorable members a very comprehensive picture. I will just give you highlights because we go through our final audits and we'll be coming back here to give you performance numbers. The net revenue for 2012 was 1.64 billion. The group revenue for the 2013 financial year is forecast to be a slight growth to 1.64 billion. NTP Radioisotopes and the NEXA MCR Fuel Department managed to obtain the NEXA group in a strong position in the radioisotope market. And I'll be reporting to you, I hope, a much more improved picture towards the end when we come here for performance. The NEXA R&D division continues to improve and grow in terms of innovation disclosures and publications. We are hoping to achieve much higher figures than we've been achieving so far. I need to share this with you, and I've come here when we were doing the annual statement last year, and I said we had donated a PET scanner to the Tel Aviv Hospital, but I didn't show you a picture. The picture that you see on the on the screen is a picture of the camera. There's a bed on which somebody lies, and you slide it into that hole in that torus. There you can diagnose cancer. You can diagnose. You can even perform a bit of therapy in there. This is a very critical facility that we donated to the Western Cape. And there is a collaboration that is world class, and there are several breakthroughs there where we work with the Steve Biko Academic Hospital in Pretoria in terms of imaging of prostate cancer as well as TBs that unfortunately coexist with HIV/AIDS. And of course, with that imaging, we can fine-tune the treatment to be very specific to the area where the infection occurs. Other achievements, we've been doing comprehensive feasibility studies which make us ready to be able to undertake certain work, including the fuel cycle work that we have mandate to do, and we think that in the next while, we'll be showing you the applications of those feasibility studies. And the Nuclear Skills Development Center has received accreditation from CITES and a recognition, and there's a recognition for their decentralized trade test center, which will increase the throughput of training of critical skills within NEXA. And of course, R&D and related work continues to make the contribution that we require, and of course we've been working in an area for some time now on generation 4 nuclear energy systems, where we are we can leverage the technology on coated particle and to ensure that we enter the next phase of technology as far as nuclear technology is concerned in the near future. The NEXA Visitor Center continues to play a significant role in demystifying nuclear to the public, especially school-going kids. International collaborations. Here, NEXA is collaborating with the International Atomic Energy Agency, where we are building a comprehensive test and treaty radionuclear monitoring station in the Western Cape. This work could be important for us to be able to monitor activity in nuclear tests. We've established recently a subsidiary of NTP in Europe, in Belgium, called NTP Europe, for us to be able to sell and participate in a European environment on non-destructive testing equipment and systems. Okay. Now, I'm going into the NECA corporate plan, which is really the purpose of us being here. We plan to establish a new term manufacturing center at a viable exit. This manufacturing center is operating already. We are optimizing it to ensure that it can be viable, freestanding, does not depend on government grants. For the past year, it has not been receiving any money from the government. So it is breaking even, but we expect it to grow in this area. We are in the process of implementing a strategy for Pelcam to grow its revenue and to ensure that it is back to profitability. We are assessing the viability of future nuclear fuel cycle services in industry for beneficiation of uranium in South Africa, and we hope to see some results here in the near future. Key objectives in terms of radiation science and applications cluster, we want to maintain full operational capability of Safari 1. Safari is the mostly the best used material test reactor in the world of its kind. And we continue to do this. Of course, it's not young. It is a young lady of 8 years old, and we expect it to work for the next 10 years, and we are improving its capability. But we need to future-proof this by going through to Safari 2. We want to continue the feasibility study on a multi-purpose research reactor to replace Safari 1 eventually. And the mistake that others make in the world is that they don't plan for the overlap period of getting a new one and phasing out an old one. And then you end with a gap where it's not sustainable. So the growth of NTP is based on this, and it's also based on other processes that we're working on. You'll see in our predetermined objectives and KPIs that we want to grow the revenue of NTP from just under $1 billion to just over $1.5 billion in 3 to 4 years. NECA is a host of nuclear programs. I've already told you about this, that NECA's research and development and innovation outputs, we are focusing on them to increase. Of course, we need to do everything within safety culture. Our regulator is not going to let us do it any other way. And our professionalism in nuclear is not going to let us do it differently either. To achieve a reduced but sustainable salary bill within existing funding constraints, we are on track to try and achieve that, but it's going to be a very difficult task because you need, not only do you need to recruit good people to work in this area, you need to be able to retain them. And how you pay them, how you value them, determines how well you can retain them. And to maintain the infrastructure at a suitable level, and this is, the words don't tell you how important this is. Because we have aging infrastructure, which we need to deal with on a continual basis. There are cross-cutting facility management-driven priorities, and here, to opening any shareholder support for key strategic projects, we are on track to do this. We are very proactive in what we ask our executive authority, and when we do it, we are raising the performance of our units, the important units such as R&D, New Manufacturing Center, and of course the heart of NECA, which is NURED, where we operate Safari, we operate the fuel manufacturing plants. So we're upping that performance. We need to up the performance of NTP Group. That is a very focused action we are involved in. And increasing the awareness of NECA research and production outputs, we haven't been doing very well in doing this. You're not seeing adverts talking about what good work NECA is doing. You'll soon be seeing that. I think our marketing function and communication function will come into gear. We'll find sustainable funding models for our activities. continuing with the cross-cutting executive management driven priorities. We'll expand the collaboration in R&D. You don't do R&D, you don't do skills development unless you collaborate. And we are collaborating closer and closer with the Timber Labs in the Western Cape, and we will continue to find other partners to collaborate with. We are working on a training program with universities elsewhere in the world so that we get fellowships into NEXA and fellowship from NEXA to these institutions. We're strengthening NEXA's project management and engineering system engineering capability. The business development is being developed, and we will see some good outputs in the short term. These are low-hanging fruits for us. Skills development and transformation, we are addressing the employment equity. But of course, in an environment where you're not recruiting heavily, it's very difficult to achieve the employment equity as quickly as we would like. Ensuring optimization and efficiency of all NEXA resources is our primary focus. Our key risks, growing financial constraints as the grant reduces and our fixed costs are high, aging equipment and infrastructure, and of course, somewhere in there, there's aging workforce. Business sustainability challenges and extremely tough global market conditions. I'll tell you, Pelcom sends their products to 20 countries in the world. Many of these are in Europe, and the peaks happened. Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. And that reduced our revenue coming from that area. And of course, as that happens, you end up with a situation where your customers become much more efficient. And that means they need less and less product from you. That's the global market in a nutshell. The critical success factors as far as NEXA is concerned is improved sustainability, expansion efforts to access research-based and other grants, and obtain external funding for commercial projects. I think we're getting clever in this area, and optimize business relationships between our subsidiaries and other subsidiaries. External direct investment in Pelcom will be vital. We're working very hard to get this. Here I'm showing you a graph of our baseline allocation. It's self-explanatory. I'm not going to go through it in detail. And next slide. And here's the breakdown. If you look at our total income, sales contributes 8%. That is what we sell, products that we sell out into the market contribute 68%. And the government grant is only 25% and dropping. We don't want it to drop further than a particular point, but we can't control it. And here I'm showing you the income per category, and you can see as the income is growing, in every category you have grants. That's not a growth area, and the sales of goods is the blue. It's where we need to focus. Otherwise, NEXA is not sustainable. The expenditure breakdown, if you look at that graph, the biggest is for 2% on personnel and related expenses. The second biggest is on general and other expenses. Everything else is small and manageable, and of course we need to achieve a balance there. This makes management very tight exercise. I'm showing you here the capital expenditure, but of course this is planned. We're planning in this current financial year about 148 million, and it's decreasing in the three-year period. And if you look at it from a pay company basis, you can see who the highest contributor is. It's the corporate, and then you have NGP radioisotopes contributing most. The next corporate capital expenditure, Chairman, you could see the numbers. This is per classification, but it is very further looked at the company, the project. This is where we're spending our money. The LEU fuel target plate manufacturing facility, the Safari 2, and other projects. Here we'll be asking for Section 54 approval as a PFMA from the executive authority to ensure that we sustain ourselves going forward. Income per category, I'm not going to go through this detail. These are really budgets, and I'm itching to show you performance. But I can't show you performance because the annual financial statements are not out. And of course, go to the next. In terms of human resources, I brought a capable person to talk about human resources, which is Mr. Dan Muwahi. He'll take over from me.
Thanks, CEO. Good day, honorable members. I think CEO have declared my post redundant because they have eloquently addressed HR issues very well during her presentation. And therefore, in preparation for my exit, I'm not going to address these issues in detail because he have alluded to those issues basically. I think our key focus area is to make sure, I think we have a new board that was appointed in December. They are busy refining the strategy. And immediately after that, our key priority is to implement the new organizational structure, to implement the strategy, and to make sure that we stabilize the HR environment. Because, as you know, for last year, we have embarked on a 189 process in terms of Labor Relations Act, and that process has to be concluded properly in the most effective way, basically. I think the other thing is to pursue the issue of transformation and making sure that our nuclear academy reach another level, basically. I think in terms of priorities, for some of the key priorities for this year is to increase the ratio of technical staff with regard to support staff, increase the number of disadvantaged individuals, both women and young people. And this is a key challenge, basically, increase the number of masters and PhDs and postdoctoral graduates. And these three bullet points are very key because I think because of the uncertainty as a result of 189, we are losing a lot of young technical people. And we need to make sure that we have a sufficient capacity to make sure that as an organization go forward, basically. But even above that, we are on course to take next nuclear learning academy forward. And as part of supporting the manufacturing center, we are also implementing advanced manufacturing skills for coded welders, as we all know that this is a skill that the country don't have. And we have just finalized the buying infrastructure for to launch the Radiation Protection Training Center, which should be established in the next 2 months, basically. Next slide. This is our performance. I'm not going to dwell too much in this slide. This is our performance for last year, and this is our projection for the next financial year, for this current financial year, basically. This is our targets for our staff, basically. And I think the key challenge here is the moving target. The CEO have alluded that to achieve this thing, it's a bit of a challenge. It's impossible precisely because of the fact that we're not recruiting, we're not bringing as many people as we can, but we are on course, basically. I think we're on the major recruitment drive to make sure that we get especially technical skills in regard. And this is a performance, I think, that we have alluded to this in his presentation and how this relates to other government priorities. I'm not going to talk to the slides, basically. So until next slide. Same thing with this one. I think the CEO have alluded to this in the previous presentation, basically. And over to you, sir.
Okay, Chair. The next set of slides talk to our predetermined objectives and key performance. If we're forward-looking, we're looking at what we did this year, The end of the financial year that ended 31st of March. Our next corporate financials, external sales showed 330 million, NTP group financials 928, etc. And we're looking forward and saying we want to increase this. For the 2014 year, we want to see the external sales revenue going to just under 400 million. And it should grow to just under 500 million in the next 3 years. And of course, if you look at research outputs, we want to see ourselves going from 36 right through to 55 research publications in peer-reviewed journals. And in terms of innovation value chain, we want to move from 15 to 23. This chair, I must say, this slide does not show you our stretch targets. It shows the targets as we contract with the shareholders and our board. And then, of course, internally, we are driving stretch targets. You don't achieve these targets unless you're aiming for higher. Basically, what I'm saying is, well, when you want to pass an exam very well, if you want to get 80%, when you study for 100%. And of course, you tell your parents that you're going to get 80% and then you end up with 81.
I like that mathematics.
in terms of projects, the LEU fuel and target date manufacturing plant, we want to achieve project milestones. And here, this will be renewed milestones which we contract with board. And in terms of the D&D project, we want to achieve 100% what we say we're going to do or what we need to do. Okay. In terms of compliance and share, this is non-negotiable. It's the license, but we're aiming for much lower than what the regulator requires. And you can see our numbers usually sub one. And of course, in terms of public dose, we're talking about very low percentages. And as we increase our activities, we have to increase our vigilance. In terms of staff composition, we are very challenged. We would like the technical staff as a percentage of total staff, which are, we want to increase that from 49 to 58%. We think we can do better, but we need big projects to do better. I included this slide because I've been requested previously to include my abbreviations that I use. I tried not to use the abbreviations too much, but they are there for you to understand the slides when I'm not around. That is our site. Some of you have visited the site. You're looking at the site from the mountain area, and you're looking towards Hartlepool Sport Dam. You can see how beautiful that place is. Thank you, Chair.
Other members, there you are. Thank you very much, Nexa. Yes, we did go to Elindaba. It's a very, very interesting site. Very, very interesting. But in any case, now what is of interest is for members to scrutinize question and comment on the plan. Yes, we do take into account your input on achievements. Of course, members, we know that come October, October is the reporting month, we have our feast in scrutinizing the performance of NEXT at that time, both operationally and also in terms of the implementing its overall strategy. But it was good and helpful for now, just to balance, you know, so that when NEXA, even in any other entity, in any case, when they take us, you know, through their plans to compare and balance that with what they've achieved, you know, recently. Enough on that one. Questions, Mayor Matibela, Mayor Ndate Khadebe, Honorable Freiling, Honorable Smale, Mayor Fagasin, Government Matin, Governor Prof. As Prof. Usate Kunji. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you for the presentation. My question is on the uranium containing the scrap metal, specifically harmful emissions from the smelter. Can NECA please briefly outline the key safety measures? The other one is about the what you have for health. Does this mean now that we can really say goodbye to AIDS, HIV and AIDS? Are we saying goodbye to it? Because we know that Katesinokusula in the early 50s, and we got rid of it, where people never thought that we can get rid of Ukusula. Is this also going to be in the same line? The aging infrastructure, I just want to know, I didn't hear well what you said about the infrastructure. What plans have you got to rectify that? And also, I want to know about the beneficiation of what is it? What is it?
Uranium.
Just Yonale. Thank you.
Thank you. I think one of the other issues is Matimela has just asked. It was there was a research that is being released by one of the U.S. researchers in terms of the security breach, in terms of the nuclear facilities of South Africa, that it was not safe. I want to check in terms of how far are you in terms of addressing that. Yes, sir. But the other question, when on the slide 17, I mean, on the page 17, slide 34, you mentioned in terms of the personal and related expenditures. I really request you to give me a little bit of enlightenment. What are these other related expenditures? Because it will give us a challenge if we have other related expenditures, but you find out that it doesn't address what is expected of NECA. But the other thing, see, normally when presenters omit other slides, I go straight to those slides. Want to say why do they omit those slides? And I definitely find a factor there. In your slide 44, you know, we were just raising issues earlier, CEO, that there's a challenge in terms of your capacity in terms of young people, and in increasing. And you are saying you are training most of the people and all that stuff, but when you look at in terms of your targets here, in terms of your priorities, 2012 and 2013 financial year, you said you're training how many graduates? 11. But 2013 and 14 you are reducing. Why do you have to reduce? I can't understand. If ever we are in short of these important skills, yourself, you are reducing that. But in one of the other slides here, you are saying you've got also crisis in terms of those skill capacities. But it's not just that only. The issue of the safety and security learnerships, you train 10, but in this financial year, you're not training anything. But in terms of your other slides here, yes, in terms of your slide 52, you are saying, in extra sense, the issue of compliance in terms of your check is not a matter of the non-negotiable. But in your pronouncement, you are saying you are not aiming the expected number by the regulator. How do you expect the regulator to function if you are not complying in terms of those regulations? And at this other end, you're not training anything for the next year. That's what it means. You're going to have a problem in terms of complying with the regulations. Then, in the next presentation of when NR comes here, They must expect this question from me. What have they done? Well, is NESTA complying correctly in terms of these matters? And I'm going to go and dig deeper in terms of my research in checking whether you are doing your own work or NESTA is playing the guitar, you are dancing. Because you're supposed to play the guitar, they must dance to your guitar. Because as a regulator, you must monitor their operation.
That's a problem. I think what is of interest is that the expectations in this area in terms of number of beneficiaries under training and development should be increasing. So if you could share with us as to what informs you in these specific areas where there's a decrease, I think we're looking at it that from that angle of curiosity.
Maybe last one, Chair. The issue of the, in terms of the human resource priorities as well, the increase of the number of priorities in terms of disadvantage in the individuals. I appreciate the increase that I see, but it doesn't give me a smiling face because it's a small margin. When you look at in terms of the capacity or in terms of how big is South Africa and how do you expect in terms of expanding in closing those gaps, if honestly we say we want to close the issue of the previous disadvantaged individuals, how do we close the gap if we've got a small margin in terms of our increment? It really doesn't really give a sense. Thank you.
Okay, Honourable Members, I'm just looking at time as well. If you could just be sensitive to that. Just in terms of the length of the questions more than anything, I didn't write down the list. Now, Honourable Frayling and followed by Honourable Smaria.
Okay, thanks, Chair, and I'll try to be quick. I'm also very interested in the Pelican tie-up with Lonza with regards to the factory that's been built for the ALVs. I just wanted to get some progress on that. I think that is one kind of bright, shining area that hopefully we can make some major progress on. And as the Chair did rightfully say, we did visit your facilities last year. I mean, the thing that I'm constantly struck with Nectar, and you're in a difficult position. I mean, essentially, you do have some commercial operations, but ultimately, your financial viability depends on government grants in the tune of about $500 million a year that we have to give. And I've constantly asked this question as to, is it worth our while as a country, are we pursuing specific national objectives by giving $500 million to NEXA as opposed to somewhere else? And I know that you are grappling with this issue yourself when you're looking at commercial operations. But you know, one of the things that I was very impressed with at NEXA, in fact, was your training operations, particularly in the artisans. You have a wonderful facility there. And I'm just wondering whether, you know, you seem to be treading ground because in a sense NEXA isn't really viable as an entity at this point in time unless a decision gets taken in terms of the nuclear build program. And then I suppose you would then play some kind of a role in that. But until that decision gets made one way or the other, it's very difficult for you to fully situate yourself in the kind of national objectives that you're trying to pursue. I'm interested in that. But one area where I think you can play a very important role is in possibly expanding your operations in terms of your training of artisans, particularly given the scope of buildings that you have at your plant there. I think that you can really expand that, and I think that you can really get more money from the CETAs to, in fact, expand your training operations in welding and in all of those particular areas. And I'm just interested to hear how you're looking at that going forward, because I think that would be a huge assistance to the country as a whole. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Yes, I was just wondering quickly, what was that baseline that you said that from 25% or government support, where's that red line that you are treading or fearing that we shouldn't get down to that line? I just need to understand where that line is for future discussions. And understanding your mandate and looking at the percentage that you do put or spend towards maintenance. Is that efficient? I see that we're on 3%. Is that efficient, making sure that taking into account the amount of shutdowns that we've got at some of these buildings and making sure that it is a safe environment, that those cost beneficiation is efficient? I see a big decrease in spending towards Gamatech. into all three of those sectors over the next 3 or 4 years. Maybe just a bit clarity on the reasons why. And then just for on the research side, the thorium-100, or better known as Th-100, is a radioactive element that is in most ways better than uranium, and what is actually the opposite thereof. What is Nexus research and involvement in pursuing this in a much greater length, thinking of where we want to go with the nuclear industry?
Mark Ferguson?
Thank you, Chair. I certainly will go and have a look at the light scanning scanner at Tigerberg Hospital. It is extremely good-looking pieces with equipment, and I'd like to do some oversight there. I'm really going to repeat a lot of what other people have said, but I am really interested in also in slide 42, so you should give us some more clarity on that. Yes, of course, you must be congratulated on your collaboration with other entities and that, the commitment to skill development. Of course, you can use it a lot more better, but how, in the short term, what is the short-term plan to ensure that the organization is appropriately skilled? Do you have a retention plan, and what is that? Just in terms of the project, the ARV is very exciting, but where is this project? What is happening to it? And then what kind of education and public participation do you have in place to inform the communities around your safety programs, particularly around the uranium smelter? You did think about, you mentioned your aging infrastructure and the financial sustainability, and I'm sure that when your people come back to us with your annual financial statements and also your progress report in November, I'm sure there'll be a lot more clarity on it. But it is a flag that's being raised right now. Thanks, Chair. Honestly, repeat your question.
Okay.
Chair, I think I'm fine. I was just confused with the slide 43 because it just says there's no time frame. I don't know. I think it's for the 2014. Yeah. Because when I look at the table below, there are decreases in training, whereas there's a shortage of skills or skills that are leaving. And which are needed. They need to train more people. But maybe that slide can be explained.
Yeah, I think Matindo, we are all quite keen. We're looking at next up great expectations on that. Surely you have something to explain on that one. Thanks very much. But you know, from my side, where is it now? Maybe touching up. Why are we losing skilled staff? And to whom? This is a question that's direct to NEXA, but also taking the industry into account as a whole. You can see the two. It's a loaded question. Why are we losing it? And to whom? In any case, what does that reflect in terms of the industry as a whole? Because I think it's a certain signal, because you're not saying these people are dying or whatever, but you're losing them to somewhere. You know, what does that signify then? And also the... You express confidence about handling, you know, Generation 4 technology, which I'm sure you'll take a few minutes to explain. But then how does that balance with the, or how does that relate to the recent results on the PBMR fuels technology that was developed as well by South Africa, which recently its outcome came from US and said that it's the top technology. I take it that's what the experts are saying. So it's your expression of Generation 4 that drew my attention on that. Localization, wonderful. I suppose you still will be in line with the government's policy and program on broad-based economic empowerment. Anything to share on that? I mean, we take for granted that it's really there, but maybe there could be something that you would share on that area. Now, I can't remember now where was this, but there was something around expenditure decrease. I'm sorry I did not check which page is it. Maybe you'll remember it, Selan. But I was quite interested. Why are you so confident about energy decrease? And PWR, sorry, I use an acronym. Now I'm stuck. What is PWR? Pressurized water reactor, you see? Because we were talking about writing. Pressurized water reactor. What role is it going to play on the nuclear fuel program? It seems it's just a new function or new facility for me. So I was interested to see how does it relate to this. I think because of time, let me stop there and give you an opportunity to respond.
Chair, thank you. I'll respond to what I can, and some of the HR issues I'll ask my colleague to assist. Let me start with the last one. Pressurized water reactors is the technology we're using at Quebec already. What is of primary importance for us is that NECSA is the only nuclear energy research institute, and up to now we haven't had a PWR research and development program to do. And we're setting it up at the moment to ensure that we can support Quebec or any other nuclear plants that South Africa chooses to build, because we think we're going to stay within that framework. That's really what I was touching at. And to come to you, the expenditure decrease, I wasn't talking about total expenditure. I was talking about capital expenditure of those projects that we've selected within the MTEF period. So if you execute the project properly, you will find that you spend on a particular project, for example, the LEU fuel manufacturing and target facility. As you build it, your expenditure should pay off at some point. Now, I'm not saying come 3 years from now, NECSA will be spending less money. It will be spending less money on those projects that are on the table now.
Okay.
That's really what I was talking to. Another point which I can move pretty swiftly through is the Generation 4 technology. NECSA, along with PBMR and ESCOM, we're working on the PBMR project. And NECSA had the area of fuel development under itself. And because of that, we have developed some expertise in terms of handling coated fuel technology within NECSA. All those fuel development labs are in NECSA, belonging to PBMR. At the moment, we're beginning to transfer this the decommissioning and decontamination of this through to NECSA from PBMR. That's what we're busy doing. But of course, you do not decommission what works. You decommission what you're not going to use. And we're looking at the potential of reusing this technology within NECSA to take it forward to ensure that we are ready for the future. We shouldn't hide jewels in decontamination rooms. We should make sure that we deal with it. I'm not announcing any plan now of how we're going to do it, but with the executive authority, we're deciding going forward how we use the technology. This is really what I was talking to. Now, Honorable Member Freeling asked about thorium. Are we pursuing, I think it's small. Are we pursuing this? Yes, we cannot ignore a potential fuel for utilization in plants. At a research and development institution, we have one or two people looking at this potential. There are other companies in South Africa that are looking at this, and universities like the University of Northwest that are looking at this, and we want to collaborate with them to ensure that we pursue this as a future fuel to be utilized in place of uranium, if that eventually does come. We're looking at that. There was a very incisive question that was asking, to whom are we losing the skilled staff that are leaving NESA? And I can tell you that with young people, they follow trends. Back in the late 80s, 87, 89, there was this artificial intelligence. And many young people were working, studying at universities on artificial intelligence. In the 90s, it was IT. Everyone was doing IT, database management, and everyone was moving there. And in the 90s, because of PVMR, we had a lot of young people studying, going to universities to study nuclear engineering, nuclear science, physics, that sort of thing. In the 2000s, you had young people now becoming disenchanted with the nuclear, because decisions were not being made about the nuclear build, etc. And they somewhat moved and morphed to other areas. Typical areas are in construction. Because of 2010, we had our mechanical engineers, civil engineers, moving to the construction firms. The mining companies, were some of them, especially in platinum, were getting some of our skilled personnel. Remember, when you train an engineer, you don't just train them in nuclear. You train them in electrical, in chemical, etc. They can move to the other sectors. And with our section 189 at NESA, the potential for it, we had young people resigning to get jobs, sometimes lower pay than what we pay them, because they want certainty. They were not moving from the sector, they were moving from the uncertainty, because some of our people feel queasy when it's uncertain. It's only a few selection of people that can live within an uncertain environment for any length of time. So I haven't given a straight answer where they go, because they don't go in the same place. I can identify one of them that's sitting in this room that left NESA. And they move to various places. I'm going to move to the other questions that relate to
what are overseas in the land.
We've had a few moving overseas, and it's very interesting. In our recent efforts for various posts, some of them were reapplying. They move overseas not from NESA but from nuclear South Africa. They are reapplying to come back. There's two individuals sitting in the UK who will most likely work for us in the next month or so. And highly experienced, because they've worked in an international environment. We appreciate that they're coming back. We were not so appreciative when they went overseas. Yes. To look at the safety, the smelter. The smelter is an important component for us. What we do at NESA, we decontaminate equipment, buildings, and vessels. We remove contamination. We remove radioactive material. But in some materials, as you can't remove all of it, there's remnant material there. Very small, and the regulator gives oversight on this. But now, how do you deal with this after you decontaminate it and you don't want to further use the piece of equipment? You have to disposition it in a particular fashion. You can't give it to the scrap metal merchant, because it's got some level of radiation. And radiation containing articles, if you put them side by side, there's an accumulation that happens. So you need to disposition this item, and the smelter is to be used for such material. And this is the intention. And it's gone to the regulator has gone into public participation in terms of the licensing, and we are satisfied that we are able to answer most critical questions around this area. And we are satisfied that we can safeguard the public from any contamination that can happen, because the smelter is essential to do that, safeguard the safety of the public. In terms of HIV/AIDS and the radioisotopes that we are applying, the Kinkapila project, I think, is the question related to whether we can say goodbye to HIV/AIDS. I cannot say yes to it. I wish we can say in the short term goodbye to HIV/AIDS. It's a multifaceted disease, and it's driven more by infection than by the ability to treat. So Nexa cannot play, it doesn't play in that area. We try to apply some of the solutions that we can find in the treatment. We hope that in terms of behavior, in terms of other interventions, we can make this less of a scourge. In terms of aging infrastructure plans, there was a very insightful question here that says, your maintenance is too low. You say you have aging infrastructure. I think a figure of 3% was mentioned, which is correct. Yes, it's a very worrying thing. But remember that Nexa's site at one point had 8,000 people. And the infrastructure was fully utilized at that time. At the moment, we have 2,000 people. So not all that is on that site need to be kept at a very high maintenance level. It sounds a very strange thing to say. But I will say that in terms of the money that comes into Nexa, the ability to be able to keep everything fully maintained is not there. We want to get there. We are planning to get there, but it's not there. So the infrastructure that is critical is being maintained to the highest standards. The infrastructure that is safety critical is being maintained to the highest standards. But equipment and infrastructure that is less critical for what we do today, we spend as little as possible. Not zero, but we are spending as little as possible. Because, of course, we know that we're cognizant of the fact that in the future we might need this equipment, we might need this infrastructure. So we're keeping it on hand. We would like to increase our budget for maintenance to 15-20%, but at the moment we can't afford it. In terms of beneficiation of uranium, I think Honorable Khadebe asked the question. Beneficiation of uranium for us is when we create the fuel for safari, we take uranium of a particular nature and we package it into fuel elements that we put into safari. When we take the same material and we put it into target plates to apply to get molybdenum, the radioisotope, to be able to treat cancer and TB, that for us is beneficiation. But we would like to start earlier from the mine ore and beneficiate it to be able to get to the molybdenum. We would like to do that. At the moment, we haven't asked for the legislative authority to give us permission to do it yet. Maybe we might, but we haven't done it. We are doing studies, feasibility studies to do this. At a time when we can get to that point, we will. But at the moment, we haven't asked the executive authority. In terms of security breach, you know, security breaches are embarrassing things. But I'm glad to tell you that they don't just happen in South Africa. They happen in the U.S. too. There was a recent incident that was publicized in the in public media about a breach in the U.S., I think it's 2011. We haven't had a security breach recently. We are working on security upgrade. We've received money from the fiscus, about 13 million, I think. That was allocated in the METF period towards the end of last year to increase the security
around our facility. We are using this money efficiently and effectively to ensure that we do not get any security breach. But it relates to behavior from ourselves, not just equipment and systems. Our behavior should be such that we do not, we are vigilant. We continue to realize that, and we cannot say it won't happen. We are working very hard to make sure that it doesn't happen. There are certain activists in the world that will climb over your wall just to embarrass you. So we are very cognizant of that, and we're working very hard to make sure that we are not vulnerable to such behavior. I'm going to leave. There was a comment from Honourable Member Kwele on Peltem and Lonza. Very important. We agree. But I'm being asked, what is progress there? There's something that happened with this project, which is critical to understand. Peltem project is Nexa initiator, Peltem initiator. And then we went to IDC, we went to Lonza, and we went to the Department of Science and Technology. And for some reason, and you will understand the reason just now, control moved from ourselves to Department of Science and Technology. The Minister of Science and Technology is driving this project because it's a science and technology project. It's not a nuclear project. It originated from NECA, but it's not a nuclear project. The stakeholder, the level of NEXA in this project is less than 10%. So we don't control the progress. We are the heads and feet. Now, let me put it nicely. We are the slaves to drum this one, but we don't control it. So the progress of it is that Lonza has had some announcements that it's injecting cash, and it's injecting energy into this project, and we are very happy with that. And I'll be happy if somebody takes it over and runs it very well. We are nuclear scientists. We are going to put a lot of controls in there that maybe you don't need, because nuclear is bureaucratic. 500 million, is it value for money as a grant to NEXA, was the question. I think if the fiscus injected a lot more than that, they will see what they will get. They will get much more value out of NEXA. I think the 500 million is value for money. We need more, but I don't think in the short term we're going to get more. I would like to get more to be able to retain the skills that are sitting on that side, to bring in more young people, to ensure that some of the programs that we can embark on, we embark on. Somebody asked that, where's the line? The contribution of the fiscus is about 25%, and I said there's a point where it shouldn't go. I don't know where the line is. It's determined to a large extent where the line is. It's determined by what we want to do and what the state wants to achieve. You see, we are a mandated entity. If we go completely to zero in terms of state contribution, there are things that we can't do. We can't do research and development to the right level if we have to use just private sector money, because then we'll be profit driven. And so you don't spend money on those things that don't bring profit. So there's a level at which you start having diminishing returns. And I think we are almost there. I don't know where that line is. In terms of training, I'm going to leave that to Mr. Moahi, reduction of postgraduate, and that's slide 42.
Thanks. Let me start with slide 17. I think there was a question around personnel and related expenses. What are related expenses? Those personnel related expenses include, among others, recruitment costs, training, bursaries, overtime, and standby allowances, basically. Those are related to personal expenditure, basically. And then to slide 44 and slide 43. I think firstly, let me start by saying when next by the 1st of April 2012, we had huge budget risk. Hence, we embarked on 189. And as a result of that, there was a lot of uncertainty among staff. As a result, we lost a lot of them. Not a lot of them, but we lost some of them. And there was at some point, until December, our stand was that there was going to be zero salary increments for the entire staff. And we had to embark on austerity measures to make sure that we don't contravene PFMA, basically, by spending the money that we don't have. Which, by and large, I think we did exceptionally well, but there's always a price to pay. I'm making that statement to say when you look at training or budgeting for development of human resources, you have to take into account the fact that we'll be able to afford it and we also chop there. However, we have to be very creative to balance competing interests, because if you go to slide 44, those three sub-bullet points, these are your graduate in training schemes, these are your undergraduate and postgraduates. We are directly funding those programs from NECA resources. Hence, you see steady progress because of financial progress. However, how do we bring in young talents in when we spend less? If you go to line item NECA internships, that number is increasing. And we are not spending even a cent on that amount. We partnered with other institutions like DST and NRF to make sure that we have the skills that we cannot, we have this undergraduate, the postgrads in the system who have already graduated, but we give them exposure so that we can absorb them. We need to find that balance because we don't have enough resources to do that ourselves, basically. And the issue of safety and security learnership, that the first 10, the same principle applies to say the learnerships are not funded from our fiscals. They are funded by cheetah. So this is supposed to be funded by Fafista, but we can't dive deep. Once you belong to one cheetah, you belong to that. Last year they gave us money for 10, and we have absorbed 9, one reliant, after they completed. This year we have made application for 15, we haven't received any feedback yet, hence zero. If we get the money, it won't be zero to 15. We just received allocation of 4.4 million from CHITA, but it excluded the security learnerships, and we have made a submission in that regard, basically. And this talks to slide 43 to say you are increasing your numbers not only by providing money for bursaries. You are increasing numbers by internship and learnerships, basically, to say we don't have money. That's a fact, that we don't have enough resources to fund bursaries. But what we do is to say, how do we tap into other instruments that exist in the system to increase the capacity, basically. And relatively, we are doing well in that regard. We are collaborating with the University of Northwest and UJ by making sure that our next employees, our scientists, provide lectureship in those institutions. And they also promote master's and PhD students within the NECA facilities, basically. I think now we are approaching our collaboration with these institutions. I think we are training almost 100 masters, PhD, and postdocs in this regard. So it's one of those areas that one is very confident to brag that we are doing extremely well. And when we present our annual report in October, I think those figures will speak for themselves, basically. Thanks.
Just a comment, Chair, as regard what Mr. Moahu was talking about. NECRA has had to be very innovative in how we breed the young blood that we require. We haven't particularly been able to raise money, but we've been able to partner with CETAS because they see the value in pushing young people to NECRA. The EST has been very helpful in this regard because of their established programs, and so we get a lot of intent from them. So we're not spending the real cash to pay for the interns, but we're spending the real time to ensure that they're properly trained. And I think that innovation is bearing fruit. It is said that during tough times, you learn how to live well. We're learning.
Thank you very much. Members, I'm just looking at time as well. If you do not mind, if you could just go through the same routine, any follow-up questions through the committee secretary. I'm pleading for this because I want us to look at this ISPO bill change because it's the reason why it got delayed. We should have debated it in the House this month, but because of this retarding. But let me then say, as for the NECRA, thank you very much. I'm still itching. You know, there are lots of things I wanted to raise, but time is not our budget this time because Smith mentioned of export business strategy in passing, and we're interested. Not necessarily, of course, taking cognizance that you operate in a competitive environment. You know, how would you have loved here? How much harvest are you making out of BRICS? It's clear that we're part of that major and significant environment within the whole world, you know, not just the glitter and gamma and the flash of cameras that took place at Teguini, but the substance itself, the fact that we are still a significant partner amongst those economic giants, you know, globally, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, but we are there. And surely in future, I would really like to hear you are sharing, you know, how are you tapping from that, particularly with those countries whose nuclear technology, not just, you know, the energy, but the overall nuclear prowess that they have, how are you tapping from that? But in closing, and then thank you once again, honor members, I'm glad Honor Frailing is sharp on this 500 million worthiness, you know. And let's revisit that. It's important because the more NECRA presents itself, the more I see other things. But I would like us to share all of that, you know. To me, it's about also examining and interrogating overall value add. Because there are a number of things that NECRA is sharing with us. The overall value add, not just to its constitutional and legal mandate, but also to the nuclear sector as a whole. Because also, it's one thing to say NECRA, you have this mandate, you have these programs, you committed according to the plan. Have you implemented them? But, okay, let me withhold myself. But I'm sure you can sense what I remember that I'm getting. But let's scrutinize it on Friday. Let's scrutinize it. It's good because at the end of the day, we all are going to get settled that it's worthy. And what I like, he doesn't even say it's worthy. He even said, I want more. Okay, that's fine. Let's be creative and look at some time in future as to how we can take that. If we do not have time, maybe what we can do is to integrate it as we move along in our engagements as to how can that be articulated, that really, what a value add that justifies this 500 million or even more for that matter. And on that score, thanks very much, my mentor, together with your team. Thanks for now. I'm sure the other major engagement we'll have down the line would be in October when we get the report. Honourable members, in terms of the what we have in past, I don't know, community sector, whether you did share this. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't have time to share this and to get some guidance from the committee secretary, because I might just be reading the same thing. Probably I have to, because of this additional paragraph, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. All members, if you look at the second paragraph, there is the one that talks about this reclassification, and procedurally we just have to do it again because of that. But otherwise, if you see the rest of it, it's what we read and agreed for. So if you do not mind that I go through it formally, and then we then formally adopt it. Then our committee report now reads that National Assembly, it's for the National Assembly, definitely, report of the Portfolio Committee on Energy on the Independent System and Market Operator Bill 9-2012, National Assembly, Section 76.1, dated 30th April 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Energy, having considered the subject of the Independent Systems and Market Operator Bill 9-2012, initially classified by the Joint Tag Mechanism as a Section 75 Bill, and subsequently reclassified as a Section 76.1 Bill, referred to it, report the bill with amendments, B9A 2012, and then range recommendations going along with the presentation of the reporting of the bill. The Portfolio Committee on Energy recommends that the National Assembly request the Minister of Energy, acting in consultation with the Ministers of Public Enterprises, Finance, and Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, to A, conduct a due diligence study in order to determine the feasibility and implications of the transfer of transmission assets, and to submit the final report to the National Assembly by 30 November 2013. B, conduct a cost-benefit analysis of the possibility of incorporating the transmission assets into the independent system and market operator ISMO. C, further conduct cost-benefit analysis of establishing a transmission system operator, TSO, or any other arrangement suitable to the South African situation. D, ensure that the efforts on the restructuring of the entire electricity sector be addressed as a matter of urgency. So, would like this report to be considered by the House at the appropriate time. All members, are we fine with the report as structured now? Going, gone. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not certain of the implications. So essentially you're saying that the bill has been tagged wrongly, is that right?
Yeah.
And it needs to be tagged.
Sorry, I didn't explain that. Sorry, I'm sensitive to that. Along the way, I think what the legal aspects observed is that there's a very strong trading component. And because of that strong trading component, it then implies that the NCOP has got to handle the bill not from a Section 75 angle, but more elaborate from a Section 76 angle. It's a provincial
competency.
Yeah, it's a provincial competency as well. So hence that is structuring. So that's why we're not touching the content and the substance of the bill. It was that procedural issue. Yes.
Sorry, I mean, I presume then that the legal opinion was sought in terms of how one retagged, because I always thought that it couldn't be retagged once we had deliberated on it, just so that I'm a bit unclear about that. So it is procedurally correct to retag it at this stage before it gets placed business in.
Well, Honourable Sering, this reclassification has got a legal opinion by Advocate Vanara. He presented it to the Speaker, and he presented the Speaker of the National Assembly, and who approved it on the 16th of April, and then he presented it to the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, who also approved it on the 23rd. Now, I definitely would, acknowledge that they can't do that without having done their own independent, verification of that. But the implication is that the SOP was still going to handle the bill, but now they will handle it in a more elaborate manner. You know, not as it is being done in 75. In fact, the indication, as they explained, that it will take a little bit more time, because they then have to scrutinize it. It has to be submitted to various provincial legislatures, which I think to me is good. You know, let the bill be subjected to that, so that when it comes back, you know, we don't have any comebacks on it. Is that fine then?
Yeah.
I will agree. Thank you very much, honourable members. Let's have a good workers' day tomorrow. The meeting stands adjourned. See you next week. What's then next week? Okay, we are adopting the committee budget vote on the 7th of May at the venue still to become confirmed in preparation for our debate on the 14th of May. Thank you very much.